Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church. I have a few announcements this morning. First, you'll notice a couple of inserts in your bulletin. This green one, if you haven't already filled it out, we are trying to figure out the best day and time for the men's Bible study breakfast. So if you can, if you haven't filled it out, please go ahead and do that and drop it in the offering plate today. As well, the blue insert, we want to continue to be in prayer for our pastor nominating committee and for our new pastor, whoever they may be. So please continue with this and continue being in prayer for those folks. Also, you'll note on the back of the bulletin, there is an announcement about the Bible study for Saturday mornings during the lunch ministry. If you are interested in helping with that or leading that, please contact Kent Shelton or Susan Mathena. They'd like to get a list of folks together that would be able to help teach a Bible study in the morning. Also want to remind folks that September the 25th, coming up next month, is our first Wednesday night supper. Ellie Honea is back in this country, and she will be presenting all that she does in Japan. And I have good news. Jesus is alive and with us. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God. Let's join together in the responsive call to worship found printed in your bulletin. Call Jehovah your salvation. Rest beneath the Almighty's shade. There no tumult shall alarm you. You shall not dread any hidden snare. Let us worship God by joining together in hymn of praise 379, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Thank you.
may be seated. It is right and proper that we humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that we have fallen short of being the people that God created us to be. Let us join together in the prayer of confession, and then in silence let us admit to God what lies hidden in our hearts. Almighty and merciful God, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. We have done those things which we ought not to have done. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Restore us as we confess our faults. Renew us through the work of your Holy Spirit. Lead us in the ways of Jesus Christ, that we may live a holy, just, and humble life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Amen. Hear now the assurance of pardon. God faithfully shows mercy and grace upon all those who seek it. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Good morning. How you doing? Good morning, fellas. All right, so I'm going to read a scripture passage, and it's a passage that the folks all out here, they're going to hear with the sermon. It's from Luke chapter 13, and says this. It says, on a Sabbath, that's the holy day, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been, you know this one? That's right. She couldn't straighten herself up. That's right. What did Jesus do? He healed her. That's right. She was all crooked, and he healed her. And what happened after that? Do you remember? There was a leader in the synagogue. Was he real happy with Jesus? No, he was very unhappy with Jesus. He said, I can't believe you're doing that on the Sabbath. And so you got it. We nailed it. All right, here we go. So I've got this right here. You see my spoon? I didn't bend it. It got all, is it straight or crooked? You could bend it better? Okay. So what? I can't, don't unbend it. It ruins the object lesson. So, well, let me ask you. So can I use this spoon? Like if I wanted to scoop ice cream up? It would just get worse, wouldn't it? How would it do if I tried to eat soup? It would be a mess. I would get that soup all over me, right? That's... Well, maybe, yeah, that may be it. So that spoon is all, it's all bent out of shape. Oh, now you fixed it. Well, that didn't go the way I was hoping. You bent it back. Perfect, bent it back. So that the spoon's all been out of shape, and it isn't much good for anything, is it? So, you know, that's perfect. That's perfectly out of shape. You know, sometimes people get bent out of shape, too. Sometimes it's old age, or it's a disease, or an injury. that causes our body to get bent out of shape, just like that lady that Jesus healed. And, you know, sometimes we know people that they can't straighten out their back, so they can't walk straight, and their bodies are bent out of shape like that spoon. Hold on, can I see that spoon? And sometimes people get bent out of shape in a different way. Maybe a person gets angry or they're upset about something that they really don't need to be upset about. You ever heard somebody say, don't get all bent out of shape? That's what they mean. That's what they mean. Just like this spoon. Yes, you can see it. So, our Bible lesson this morning, we have two people that are bent out of shape, don't we? We have the lady who has been bent out of shape for a long time, and she'd like for Jesus to heal her, and he does on the Sabbath day, on the holy day. And so she gets healed. Jesus did that, and it was amazing. But we have another person that's all bent out of shape, don't we? Who else has been out of shape? The synagogue leader. Not the spoon. Forget about the spoon. We have the synagogue leader who's all bent out of shape. He's very mad at Jesus for healing that woman. I'm going to put it in my pocket. For healing this woman on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus tells him, don't be bent out of shape, basically. And so, see, Jesus is concerned more about helping people than he is about keeping the rules. The rule was not to do anything on the Sabbath day. And rules are good, but people are more important. And so we should remember that the next time we start to get all bent out of shape, when someone bends the rules a little bit to help someone who's in need. I think that's important. Shall we pray? Let's pray. We're going to pray. Dear Jesus, help us to remember that you taught us that helping people is more important than keeping rules sometimes. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Good luck. Let's join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord God, help us to know your ways. Teach us your paths, lead us in your truth, and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning is Psalm chapter 71, verses 1 through 6. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. we were well prepared for hearing the gospel lesson for this morning by Jackson and the kids. It is a story of Jesus healing a crippled woman and the problems of being bent out of shape. So let us listen for God's word as it comes to us in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of the Lord. There was a farmer who was an avid duck hunter, and he was in the market for a new hunting dog. He went to a friend who bred different types of water dogs, only this time the friend said that he had a special dog, one that the farmer wouldn't believe. This dog did not swim. It walked on the water to retrieve the birds. And sure enough, the farmer couldn't believe his eyes when this dog ran down the lake bank, walked across the water, and he couldn't wait to go hunting with one of his buddies, a neighbor who had a reputation as a curmudgeonly sort. They set a date and time to go duck hunting, and sure enough, when the farmer hit the first duck and it fell into the lake, the dog headed for the water, glided along the top, didn't even get a paw wet. The neighbor never said a thing about this incredible spectacle, and the two continued hunting all day long, with neither one of them commenting about this water-walking dog. Finally, on the way back home, the farmer gave in and said, "Didn't you notice anything unusual about my new dog?" "Yeah, I sure did," said the neighbor. "He can't swim worth a darn." Have you ever witnessed someone like this neighbor who failed to recognize something that was amazing? Just couldn't see it, or maybe didn't want to see it. And I'm not talking about dogs walking on water, but rather the human propensity for not recognizing the value of people or the meaning of important moments. We've even got a phrase to describe this very human tendency. We call it missing the forest for the trees. And the truth is that we have all done this, and we see it in this morning's scripture reading from the Gospel of Luke. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. Jesus regularly taught in the synagogues. Luke's gospel doesn't tell us what he was teaching on this particular day, but he tells us about what Jesus did after teaching. On this day, Jesus noticed a woman. He saw a woman who probably went unnoticed most of the time. She was bent over and crippled. For 18 years, she walked around while her spine doubled over, keeping her face from being seen by others. She looked at the top of people's dusty sandals. She saw other people only when she twisted her neck with difficulty to look up, to strain, to see and be seen. Jesus noticed this woman, took time to witness the pain of her condition, and Jesus touched her, laying his hands upon her. He proclaimed that she was free from this horrible ailment that had kept her bound for almost 2 decades. And she stood up straight, and she praised God. She could see everyone in the synagogue, and everyone could see her face. They could see the joy and gladness in her eyes. "So that's what she looks like," they may have thought. Jesus noticed her, took the time to show compassion. And then she was able to stand up straight, twisting her body upright to know and to be known by others. What a remarkable gift Jesus gave this woman. It was a life-changing, world-altering miracle for her, and she praised God for it. But all this irritated one of the leaders of the synagogue. He would have none of this. He ran up to Jesus, shaking his finger, lecturing him in a scolding tone. This man, we presume a Pharisee, began to criticize Jesus for healing the woman on the Sabbath. There are 6 days on which to work, he said. Healing equates to work, so there's no excuse for working on this day. This religious leader believed that insisting on his understanding of the rules was more important than caring for people. And the man's attitude outraged Jesus. Jesus responded that the law permits untying and leading a donkey to water on the Sabbath, and certainly the law should care more for the needs of people than animals. The law should make an exception for unleashing this daughter of Abraham who had been kept from being a true part of the community for 18 years. Now she was free, and Jesus noticed it was a time for everyone to rejoice. Just a little background about the Sabbath and Jesus' observance of the Sabbath helps put this story in context. Everything that Luke's gospel tells us about Jesus reminds us that Jesus was thoroughly committed to the covenant faith. Jesus recognized the Sabbath and studied and taught and observed the scriptures. Jesus regularly attended worship services at the synagogues. The synagogue services were somewhat informal, unlike the temple services in Jerusalem. There was no altar, no priest in the synagogue. Services in the synagogue were primarily prayers, reading of the scriptures, comments on the scriptures, and alms for the poor. Jesus participated, was a part of all of this, and he told them that he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He observed the Sabbath, but he taught a more profound understanding of what the Sabbath meant. He said that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. So Jesus rejected the narrow interpretation that healings could not be done on the Sabbath because it was some kind of work. Rather, God's healing power was most appropriate for the Sabbath because it restored human beings to who God had created them to be. Jesus was not tearing down the historic faith and practice of the covenant people. He was lifting it up. He was fulfilling it to what God had intended it to be. We see in him, in this story of the healing of the crippled woman, what Jesus said was the purpose of the law and the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's all about. That's what we see in Jesus. As we keep our eyes focused on him, it keeps us from missing the forest for the trees. One of the saints from the first church that I served was an elderly man named Stu. He owned a small family furniture store that he had inherited in his small town in the upstate of South Carolina. During the week, you could see Stu outside sweeping the sidewalk in front of his store, always talking to folks as they were walking around town. One Sunday morning during Sunday school, Stu became animated in a discussion about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and it caught my attention, and I later discovered why it was important to him. That same week, there was a crowd of people gathered for a town meeting about a proposal to build a new post office. The little town had received word from the state that they could receive funds to build this brand new post office, and everybody was excited by the thought of a shiny new building in town. People spoke enthusiastically for the benefits of an attractive new post office. How it might spruce things up a little bit. Then Stu slowly came forward to speak. He was a trusted soul, and so people leaned forward to hear what he had to say. The problem that Stu saw with this whole idea was that the state wanted to build the post office a mile outside of town on the main highway. The strategy had been employed by numerous small towns as a matter of convenience to the postal workers for getting deliverers to their routes. But the strategy also presented a problem for many. Stu saw people walking to the post office along Main Street on his way to the store. He had known many of these folks personally, knew them by name, and he knew that many of them did not have cars. Stu liked the idea of a new building for the post office. It would be close to his home, but he was concerned that it would force people to walk long distances to receive their mail. The last words of his short speech were a question: should we ask our neighbors to walk so far for the sake of our convenience? The crowd was silent as they thought about what this might mean for their neighbors. And the post office stayed. Stu noticed people. He recognized them and could see their struggles. He was a good neighbor. When we look at the Pharisee in the story of Jesus' healing of the crippled woman, the problem is more complex than the religious leader's legalism. The problem is a failure to notice, to attend carefully to people, and therefore to be patient enough to be a part of God's work in the world. What were the things that contributed to this Pharisee's inability to notice and to recognize this woman? Probably had a lot of the same issues that we face today. Let's think about them a little bit. The Pharisees were one group of religious leaders in Jesus' day, and there were a whole host of factions who were battling for position in Jesus' day and time. The Herodians and the Sadducees were supporters of King Herod and his collaborations with the Roman Empire. Then on the other end of the spectrum were the radicals like the Maccabees. They were called the Zealots. They were vehemently opposed to any cooperation with the Roman Empire. They advocated violence. In the middle were the Pharisees, who were fighting their own skirmishes with various groups, the Essenes and others. It was this big swirling mess of agendas. And amidst all of this striving, they were not able to notice and attend, not only to the crippled woman, but the leader was not able to notice and attend to Jesus and see the Messiah come into his midst. So factionalism, divisiveness, and tribalism are nothing new and still just as problematic today as yesterday. We could probably go on for far too long pointing out the things that contributed to the Pharisees' inability to attend to God and to neighbor. Surely the problem of striving, of this leader trying to keep his status and position above others, he needed to put Jesus in his place in order to elevate himself. And what a self-defeating strategy. By trying to elevate himself, even the crowds could recognize that he was missing the forest for the trees. In our own day, there are new pressures upon us that make it difficult to patiently attend to others and to God. Our new digital world has exponentially increased the speed of life around us. What a challenge it can be in our everyday and workaday world to attend to people that we encounter face to face with attention and patience. Our help in our present day and time is the same help who met the crippled woman and lifted her up. Jesus is the one who comes to us and meets us with touch and healing. Like the woman in this story, Jesus notices us before we ever notice him. God's grace and mercy come to us long before our awareness of these gifts. Our primary response is the same as the healed woman: praise, thanksgiving, and faith. As Jesus' followers, we can be a part of what God is doing in building up what has been broken and healing what has been damaged. We can follow Jesus by demonstrating the same awareness of each person that we encounter. A Christian disciple can be an oasis of patience and attention in our world of speed and indifference. As we exercise care and patience with people, we learn that God's grace is at work within us as well, healing us and reconciling us to the God of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together as we confess the faith of the church, saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 306, Fairest Lord Jesus. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal God, shepherd of our souls, out of the noise and striving of the world, we come to worship you and to hear your voice call our names. Renew and refresh us for understanding the gift of our lives given by you and recognizing the gift of the lives around us that have been given by you as well. We praise you for the wonder and mystery of this earth that you have created and made us a part. In our gratitude, help us to be good stewards of what you have entrusted to us. And in our thanksgiving, help us to be good neighbors with those whom you have given us. Help us to hear Jesus call us to follow and be his disciples as an invitation to live the life that you have created for us. Forgive us for the times that we have heard his call to be one more thing to add to our to-do list. Help us to not miss the forest for the trees. Jesus gathered people to him and called people to follow by promise, promising that he would give rest to all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens and give them rest for their souls. We pray for rest and for healing for ourselves, for our neighbors, and for our world. Let your Holy Spirit lead us in being a part of this kingdom work that breaks into our world. We ask that your loving, faithful care would be with those that we have named on our prayer list and with all those who are on our hearts and minds. Provide for each person as each is in need. We pray for the community of Danville and ask that your Spirit would guide and lead people to understanding and reconciliation. We pray for our divided and divisive nation, that you would provide people who seek to build up, connect people, and sow faith, hope, and love. We ask these prayers through Christ, the one we seek to follow into this new week, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now with gladness, let us bring the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord. Let us pray. In the name and in the spirit of Jesus, we bring our gifts to you, O God. Help us to give them with a ready mind, a willing spirit, and a joyful heart. Bless them and us to the good purposes of your heavenly kingdom. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is number 363. I want Jesus to walk with me. Friends, as you go into this new week, go trusting that Christ goes before you to prepare the way for you, and he goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to comfort you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
Boys are